Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And, you know, maybe you've got the wrong daughter on this podcast because Hillary is a family and consumer science teacher now.
She teaches kids to sew.
Yeah. Except I was here first, okay? Like, I was in the sewing world first, okay?
Well, you know, it was kind of funny when she started that job. You know, I went over and spent several days in the classroom with her.
Uh-huh.
Getting things ready, you know. Of course, you know, the teacher that was leaving could have cared less. She was on her
way out.
Get
me out of here.
Right. So, you know, going through sewing machines and notions and figuring out what you go where. And now she also has a group of teachers and they talk about what skills they should be, teaching at what level or whatever. And most of this is introductory middle school.
That's what she does.
Right.
Let's clarify before we move on. Mm-hmm. This is... In our school district, what used to be called home economics is called family and consumer sciences.
I think it's called that in, I don't think home economics even exists anymore, just so y'all know.
Okay, but I've said facts in the group before, and people are like, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, that's because they don't know what home ec or facts is.
Yeah, so, and then people say...
Or shop. We used to take shop.
Yeah, then people will say they don't teach that anymore, and I'm like, well... Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. People
some
think
places,
they don't teach it, but
they
do.
But
and
they do.
And it is usually taught as a
an elective.
An elective. And so they can take maybe a language, or they can take, you know, facts, which is sewing and cooking, or they can take choral music, or, you know, or they're taking their band music or whatever. But it is, you know, but they have to have it. They also have to have certain, like, practical science
that
credits.
When I went to high school, it was called a practical art.
Right.
And I took facts in high school, and I was taking it with a woman named Linda Turner. And then I brought in one of your patterns.
Well,
and I was
what
like,
happened is Linda said what the project was going to be, and Mallory explained to her that she thought she was more advanced. Maybe,
no,
than
I said,
the project.
I said, can I make this? And she was like, well. And I said, yeah, this is my mom's pattern. She's like, ZD's your mom, and she just like flipped, you know. And then I got to actually teach a hand beading class. To the facts class. She let me teach it. So that was really fun. But that actually fulfilled one of like my graduation requirements.
And then later when Mallory left the shop to go to one of her trips, her extended like 9 months in Europe to study. And Linda was going to retire. I made her come work at the shop.
Yeah, she came work at the shop.
So she took Mallory's job at Mallory's part-time job at the shop.
Yeah. So she was retiring.
And then later they worked together.
Yes. It was super fun. So yeah. That's how you should always I'm going to tell my kids, like, be nice to everyone because you just never know.
You never know who you're going to meet again in life. You do not.
I was nice to Linda in facts class.
Linda was a nice
Turner.
Person.
Yes. So anyway, we're talking about a little bit more advanced sewing with kids now. So this kid we're talking about, this hypothetical kid, I think they're 10 and over.
Yeah, I'm thinking they are the fifth or sixth grader.
Yeah,
kind
or
of.
Like tween teen.
Yeah,
you know?
Kind of what Hillary has to deal with.
Because
let's get her to do this podcast.
I know. What are we
doing?
And
then we wouldn't have to do it.
Well, something I know she does and that you mentioned.
Right.
Because we were talking about hand sewing versus machine sewing. You're like, should we tell people to teach their kids the parts of the sewing machine?
Right.
And like at Zelda's age, she's 5, and when I'm sitting with her in front of the sewing machine, I tell her what the presser foot is.
Right.
And the needle. But if I were to go into every part, she
You'd
would
lose
be like,
her.
Get me out of here, Mom. But there's an age where kids are ready for that kind of knowledge, and it's important to have it.
Well, it's important. You cannot teach without the vocabulary either. You know, you want to put your presser foot down. If you don't know what the presser foot
is,
what are
you talking about? Yeah.
You know, is your thread in the take up lever? What else? I you know,
hand wheel. Well,
yeah,
you
know, look at your throat plate. You know, whatever.
Hillary uses an app called Quizlet.
Yes,
and I think that it might be public. That people could have access mm-hmm. to her quiz on
oh,
the sewing
okay.
machine. So we need to ask her about that. Of course, you can do this however you want. I remember getting a piece of paper that had blanks and I had to fill them in after I was told what they are. You know, as I sit with a kid and teach them the parts of the machine, I think that like what I would do with Elliot would be to go over the parts of the machine and then do something where we use those parts.
Right.
Okay? So if I'm going to teach him the reverse button.
Right.
And the hand wheel and the presser foot and all that. You know, maybe I know the names of, like, all of the parts of the sewing
right.
machine. He doesn't need to know all of them. You know, but going over that and then having a process where you use those. I mentioned with Catherine that she was just doing those decorative stitches in a line. Well, she got to learn a couple parts of the sewing machine at that point because she needed to use them to do her little project. So, yeah, when a kid is ready to learn those parts, I think you're right, Mom, because when something goes wrong, people need that vocabulary.
Right.
And then we were chortling to ourselves because adults need this too.
We know that adults need it too.
The
thing is also is Hillary is teaching in a group.
Right.
So she's not sitting down in front of the machine with every child. And you may be teaching three people, two people, three people, 10 people.
You know, yeah.
Sometimes she's teaching 30 people.
Yeah.
So if you don't have that common language and some sort of common place to start, you know, everybody's going to, it's going to be chaos.
Right, right, right. Well, and I think a group class sets a little bit different expectation too. Like
right.
when all the kids are looking around, they're like, okay, everybody's listening to Mrs. Myers. Tell us about the machine.
Right.
You know, in best case scenario, then everyone listens to Mrs.
That's
Myers.
Right,
okay.
Right.
I think the Quizlet thing too, it's like they all have iPads.
Yes.
So they can,
yes.
They do the quiz. And I know that like technology and screen time and technology in schools is sort of controversial, but you know, being able to look up a video and get the experience and the visual of way up close of putting that bobbin in is super beneficial
right.
to a kid, to an adult. And we had
and to a situation where there's one teacher
yeah,
and 30 students.
And it's hard to see. So I actually think we did a couple of videos on like how to thread the Sophia for the school, and having those kids when they come back to class and they haven't been there for 2 days, because I think it was like an every other day class for me. So, you know, they were with the high school facts teacher. Her name was Miss Krzyzewski. And they could say, oh, I forgot how to thread
right.
my bobbin. She could be like, oh, remember, we've got this video.
Yes.
And that, I mean, hello. Also, kids like watching tutorials.
They do.
Especially when they're in that high school age,
yes.
too. They had those machines that also had a little embroidery unit.
Yes.
And those kids, I mean, I don't think the teacher would mind me saying that they could sometimes master that embroidery
yes.
faster than she could in some ways.
Well, they will. They are not afraid of the electronicness
right.
of the machine and the computerized part of the machine, where sometimes we have seen that in adults. Now, I don't know, you know, now that we're not on the street, so to speak, teaching, right? I wonder how much that's gone away, because usually we did see it in the older customer.
I bet it's gone away a bit.
Yeah, because most, you know, if you haven't caught up by now, you're not there anymore.
No.
Yeah.
When I started working with you,
right.
when I was like 15, 16,
mm-hmm.
so that's like 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
that was one of the big focuses, how to get people who were in their fifth, sixth decade
right.
comfortable with technology.
Right.
And now everybody has learned because they want to see the grandkids on Facebook.
Right.
They want to see all that. I think now, I bet that
Well, I think people have found out it can't hurt you, and you can't
yeah.
hurt it. And the thing is that if you're not there, you've given up anyway. You probably aren't trying to sew anymore.
Or you're not trying to sew with one right. of those computerized
or you
machines.
Just, you just yeah. decided you're not yeah. going to have that kind of machine and you're not going to do it.
Right.
So,
and that's fine
right.
too.
Except
right.
Except if you're driving a car, I don't know how you didn't learn. I mean, you know, there's.
I bet that there's less of an emphasis on that. For a while, it was.
Can you remember when no one had a cell phone and no one knew how to text and all, you know, all
I mean,
of
no
that.
One knew where the start button on their. Well, right. now Windows doesn't have a start button.
I know.
Anymore.
I used to have to tell people how to start their computers.
So, you're totally right. So the kids really go to that,
right.
you know, and those little videos are very helpful. So here's the other thing. If you can find some YouTube tutorials, if you're trying to teach a kid 10 and up to sew, I don't think this will be a news to any parent out there that sometimes they don't want to listen to your voice anymore. If you can find a different person for them to listen to for a few minutes, they might actually like that. And so if you find a tutorial where it's helpful to what you're trying to teach,
right.
then turn that on for them. You know, actually, I would go in sometimes to the classroom at the high school and teach embroidery. And she said, yeah, they just, you know, the novelty of someone else coming in, is even helpful sometimes. So, you know, definitely.
We used to actually do that at the shop. We would bring in a guest artist who did exactly the same things we did, but because she came from a different city and she had a different name and she didn't live here,
man,
they thought she was a guest artist.
Derek's uncle said the best thing. He's like, yeah, an expert is somebody who lives 50 miles away.
That's
and I was
right.
like, oh my God.
That's right.
I was like, that is a...
It's funny what we think, yes.
Okay, but we're actually experts. Okay, so if we ever get paid to come see you, it's different. No, okay. So,
I'm not saying that they aren't.
I know.
I'm just saying that you may have the same talent that exists there.
Yes.
But for some reason, if you're 50 miles away, you know more. Or you're more interesting for the moment.
So with these older kids, we're saying you should get into a little bit of the technical information more than you would with a younger kid. Some parts of the machine, presser foot lever, hand wheel. It's going to depend on your machine too, because actually, I don't want the kids touching the hand wheel on the Destiny.
We try to teach them not to, right.
Because it's actually not the appropriate way to do things right. On that machine most of the time.
Well, I think that's the other thing that now you have to talk about mm-hmm. is there's different types of machines.
Yeah. Well,
you know, when I started sewing, there was a mechanical machine.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
You know, it did what it did.
Yep.
I was lucky if it zigzagged. Okay. But now, you know, there are... And we use the hand wheel.
Yes.
Purposefully.
Yes.
Purposefully we use the hand wheel.
And there are times, you know, when you want to. But
right.
But then let's take a break real quick and come back to the fun part. So we think that these kids are mature enough to do the not so fun, maybe memorize, maybe take a little quiz on the parts of the machine. But then they're also ready for projects. So let's take a quick break and talk about the ideal sewing projects for an older kid. CD, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap, and the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your thigh.
Or your head.
Oh, yeah. The head. Right. Definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing, but even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it will
right.
be accurate.
Right.
Right.
Well, we've actually had trainers, too.
Yep.
That bought these, you know, for their customers or they themselves use it for their customers or it was a male trainer and a female client. He
right.
didn't have to put his hands on the person
right.
or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure from the zero end.
Yes.
Right, right. And I said 60, but, you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So
yeah.
you've got...
you have imperial. And you... have metric.
Metric, right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one. Because if somebody sees it, a husband or
right?
a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly... At Christmas time, I would put this, like, in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to, like, send away to college with people, things like that. Where
fabulous.
You want
yeah.
something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
All right, and we're back. Hey, Mom, what should their first sewing project be?
The first sewing project has to be the thing that shows them the magic of you put right sides together, you make a seam, and then you turn it inside out, and it's something that has a finished edge.
Everything's
right?
a pillowcase, finished... right?
So it's a pillowcase. It's a bag. But some, you know, bean bags were good. Pillows were good.
You know.
Pillowcases were good.
Jerome's wanting to throw things
right.
real bad right now. And he's like throwing blocks in his room.
Right.
Not maliciously, but I was like, we need to make bean bags.
Right.
And we've, you know,
and
to
bean
throw.
Bags can be made out of a lot of things.
Right.
Rice,
right.
shot, beans. I am away
this.
From the food stuff.
Yes.
Because yes. we live in the country
mm-hmm.
and we have varmints that live out here.
Yeah.
And varmints will fight. In fact, my husband, just this is a sideline, right? Because this is something you can make, which is like an eye pillow.
Yeah.
You know, where they put rice or corn in it, and
or
then you
something.
Put it in the microwave or you put it in the freezer or whatever. So my husband had brought me a gift certificate to a spa for
right.
Christmas 1 year. And the way they did it is, you know, they had this nice certificate and this pretty envelope, and they put it in a package, and they put an eye pillow in it, you know, that you could heat in the microwave or
you could put in the freezer.
Or put in the freezer, you know, whatever you wanted, hot or cold. And all of a sudden, about a year later, I saw a mouse in my bedroom.
Ugh.
Which is on a different level than my kitchen.
Yeah.
It's up, you know, it's a second level.
You don't store food in your bedroom.
Right, I don't leave food. And I was, like, appalled. Like, I could not figure out what was going on, right?
Right.
And so, and then I never saw this mouse again.
Yeah.
But I saw some droppings, you know, and I'm like, I just get like sick over it because I can't figure it out. And then Hillary and I were in the bedroom one day and she goes, oh, there's a mouse. Mm-hmm. It went, I know I saw a mouse. You know, I don't know if anybody ever.
It's like a shadow.
It's like you see this thing dart
vision.
Out
yeah.
of the corner of your eye. It's so fast. And I was like, good, because I thought I was crazy, you know. So there is a mouse in here. Right. So I started going through like. My drawers.
Right.
I just did not know what was going on. I thought, maybe there's a dead mouse in here. Like, and I find this eye pillow, and what it had in it was bird seed.
Oh.
And the mice had gone after it. It
oh,
was
God.
Chewed open. I found all the mouse droppings around, and it was in the bottom drawer of my nightstand. Gag me, right? Just
yeah.
gag me. I'm taking the drawer out. I'm like putting Clorox in
it.
It.
Yeah.
yeah. you know, I'm thinking, how can I like de-mouse this, you know? And because of the way our house is, you know, the mouse was going into the attic and coming over to the studio.
Mm-hmm. We found some of the bird seed
yes,
over here.
Yes, we found the bird seed like miles away, but we, you know, we knew the path. So That's why now I'm not rice, corn, being happy.
Unless you're going to like store those in a, like in your refrigerator.
It didn't even occur to me that throwing this in my nightstand could cause a problem. It didn't even occur to me.
Okay. So let's get back on. So anyway. Back on our project. Okay. But good. No, I'm all about that.
I'm down to like sand and shot, and they have those plastic beads.
Yeah. Yeah, but those are,
I know,
not great for
plastic
the environment.
Too. Right. I know.
They're
I knew she'd say that.
Heavy too.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. No, they're like heavier than shot.
I'm just telling you, if you put corn in there, you could have corn mice.
Yes. There you go. Yes. There you go. All right. So, a pillowcase is a really good first project. A drawstring bag, something like that. Mm-hmm. And giving some kind of personal connection to it, I think, is important.
Right.
Although, I think that we've been, as a society, as I mentioned in the last podcast, we've been socialized to think that sewing is some kind of irrelevant thing and it's going to be real hard to get kids interested in it and stuff. It's not.
It's not.
It's not at all. They're excited to do it. It's just like coloring or working with clay or anything else. Or you're afraid the girls will like it and the boys won't. Nope. I've been in classroom situations. Everybody wanted to sew a thing because that gives you like a lot of agency and stuff.
Right.
And I went and taught in Derek's art classroom. All the kids wanted to sew. It was not a problem at all. So don't let that get in your way. But letting them personalize it is fun. They can choose the fabric.
Right.
Whether it's from your stash
and
or
this
new.
Is what I would do very similar to how I used to teach adult classes.
Yeah.
Is I would kit things. Mm-hmm. Or, quasi-kit them, I guess you would say, where if I knew I was going to have 10 students, I would cut out 13 pieces of that fabric I needed.
Right.
That way, everybody had a choice. Even if it was down to the last person, they had a choice, right? And so they got to choose their kit or choose their fabric or whatever. Right. So you can do this. Then you can maybe if... you could have ribbons there. You can have beads. You can have buttons, pom-poms, all kinds of, stuff that somebody can sew on to their project.
Right. So if you're letting – so you can do that if you're, like, teaching a class like that. If you are teaching, like, your own kid – you could, kids know how to shop online now.
That's right.
So you can say you can go to this website, you got to go to the cottons.
Right.
And then we got to pick from here for your fabric. Or I've had this experience with Zelda and it taught me something because we were going to come up here and make her leggings. And she ran into the fabric stacks and she picked up something. She's like, oh, I want them made out of this. And it was a woven.
Right.
And I had to say no, to a lot of things. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't want this to be like, no. I was like, okay, you got to come over here. And we have to pick from these fabrics because they are stretchy. And because at first she was just so excited that she ran back there, to the wrong part of the fabric or whatever. And so if you're going to have kids choose from your own stash, maybe get out a few options so they don't pick the silk that was brought back from Japan for their first pillowcase or something like that. So give them a few options or if they can order things online.
Well, and the reason I used to make kits versus telling someone what to bring was it gave me control over the quality of the fabric, the type of fabric.
Absolutely.
Because someone would always come, I got this at a garage sale or something. I mean, and they would wind up being dissatisfied with their project because it was not, it really wasn't the right kind of fabric for that project.
Like if you're going to make a cotton pillowcase, then someone's like, oh, I want a satin pillowcase. And then they buy crappy satin that's hard to sew for a pillowcase. And you're like, oh my God, it's just not. They're not going to be happy. Right.
It's different. Now, some stores or shops will say you have to buy your fabric here and they will guide you into what to buy.
I used to think that was a little crazy because we were never a big fabric store.
Right.
Okay. So then people would come in and they'd be like, oh, I went to this other store. They made me buy my fabric there. And I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a dictatorship, Mm-hmm. And then I definitely realized there's a good reason why sometimes that is the case. You know?
I mean, when you're doing a t-shirt class and nobody's ever sewn a t-shirt,
yeah,
it needs to be a knit that
it's gonna work.
Any level someone can handle.
Right.
We all know some are slippery, some roll, some do this. So, you know, sometimes we would do that and we'd say, please choose from these six bolts of fabric or whatever. Because with a t-shirt, some people took a yard and some people took 3 yards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but just to put you there, like when somebody says, oh, I have fabric, it doesn't always mean that's a good deal.
Right. Because it's not that we're being snobby. It's that it might not be right for the project.
Well, you want the person to feel success.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this is all about feeling successful. So, that's mainly what it's about.
So if you letting them personalize with a fabric choice can be good. Or nowadays, there are so many, you know, you can buy like an iron-on patch. Mm-hmm. If you have a Cricut machine, you could, you know, put a name on it with vinyl. Everybody likes to put their names on things. You know, they like to personalize it like that. Or if you have an embroidery machine, you could do something like that ahead of time or let them choose. But I do think that giving them some kind of agency in that project is a good idea.
It does. It really helps.
Yeah. So whether or not they get to choose the fabric or choose some kind of personalization, mm-hmm. that's good. Now, you may think that a pillowcase is not that exciting, okay? But that kid goes and puts that pillowcase on their bed.
They're
more excited than you would think,
right.
I think.
And there's a lot of principles in a pillowcase. A lot of things you can teach.
There used to be someone who taught the kids' classes at our shop, and she would always really emphasize backstitching, but she called it back tacking. And I'm like, I do not like calling it back tacking. It's not wrong. I just don't like the word back tack. I think about it every time, like when I do something on the machine with Zelda, I'm like, I'm not going to call it back tacking. But that was a program they, you know, went through. I also think that if your kid or if you want to do a little more advanced project, like a pair of PJ pants, that you can have a division of labor.
Yes.
Okay. It's okay to do that. You can be the one who cuts out the pants. You can be the one who maybe pins the legs together, even depending on their level, for the first pair. And then they can sew those long seams. And then if you think they're ready the next time, maybe they pin. Right. Maybe they cut.
And PJ pants is a great garment because they're baggy.
Yeah.
They're not real fitted.
We're not worried
about
that.
They're popular. People wear them. You can make them out of almost any kind of fabric whatsoever.
Right.
So I tell a lot of PJ pants. Kids' classes. That was kind of, and it's, you know, a generic, like, it, you know, it's everybody wears them.
Yes, everyone wears PJ pants, and well, especially now, there's been a lot of time at home. but I was like, quote unquote, making leggings with Zelda. Okay, so I cut them out. You know, she chose the fabric, I cut them out, then she sat on my lap at the serger. You know, maybe with Catherine. Maybe she could have cut those out. I don't know. We haven't sewn with Catherine in a while. And she could have serged them together. But then maybe I would put the elastic waist in for Catherine at this point before she knows how to do that, you know? And so it's okay for you to do some of it.
Well, I think the other thing that you get to a level where you let them do it and then you check it.
Yeah.
You know, and then they go to the next step and you check it.
Right.
You know, or you are constructing the same garment they are at the same time.
I also...
So here, I'm going to do my inseams. This is how we're going to do them. Then they do them.
Yeah.
You know?
It's also a good idea for something like an elastic waist. So you're going to be stretching elastic onto a waistline that's larger than the elastic. You could make a practice version of that by giving them a tube and some elastic. I've done this before with sleeves. We cut out just part of a bodice, you know, made the arm opening and put the sleeve in with somebody. So, you know, especially if this isn't isolated, if they're interested in making a t-shirt and then they do the exercise of inserting the sleeves, they can then do it on their final t-shirt. I think that they'll be interested in doing that exercise. So keep that in mind. Doing like samples like that are in context with the project can be good. And then I think that embellishment can also be a fun thing.
Right.
Embellishment to clothing that they already own.
Yes.
Like they got a jean jacket. And there, okay, there are so many things you can do there. In fact, my high school boyfriend was in facts with me, and he, like, redid a pair of jean shorts, and he used, like, a bleach pen to draw on them and stuff, and he was, like, just thrilled, you know, doing that. So, you know, if you want them to do, like, if they want to embroider by hand, you know, a name on something, or they want to sew a patch mm-hmm. onto something, that's another way to, you know, incorporate hand sewing skills. So embellishment, sewing on buttons, sewing on beads, etc., that can be another fun thing to teach them.
And I do think if they are interested in sewing, or we're teaching this as a practical art, that sewing on a button is something that you should teach them to do.
Yeah, I don't know why I was asked to come and do this. I think it was part of like a humanities section of a high school English class. And she used to have somebody come in and talk about quilting, and then they weren't available anymore. And so I came in and talked about garment sewing and like the ethics of fast fashion. And then I gave all the kids a piece of felt and a button and a threaded sewing needle. And they all, they were like high school sophomores or something like that, and they all sewed a button on, and they were so funny because some of the kids were curious and some of the kids were like, I already know how to do this, and some of the kids were like, I'm never going to need to do this because I'm going to be a computer programmer. And it was just, I didn't take offense to anything anyone said, but it's just interesting what people, you know, were saying. And then I may have told that kid that I know someone who went to school literally for rocket science and they're unemployed and I'm not, so I guess I can't say that for sure. But anyway, you know, it is a practical
everybody wears
thing to learn.
Everyone wears buttons.
That's
yeah.
right. When you go to your computer programming job and your button falls off your shirt, you know, are you going to be able to sew it back on? So
that's right.
That's right.
You never know when that skill will come yeah. in handy.
So don't be afraid to let an older kid, you know, don't be afraid to get a little more technical on them. And then I just think that the way kids are consuming media nowadays on the internet, I know that it just gets vilified a lot, but I also think that it can, it's just like an adult, like I've learned to do a lot of things online.
Well, and I think okay. before you teach a kid, there's plenty of YouTube things about teaching kids to sew or project, you know, kids sewing projects. Same, you know, on Pinterest. And think about what that kid might like to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you know that kid. If it's a class, you know, you're going to have to think about, you know, the age, who you have in it. Are they going to be, you know. And, you know, you might not be successful with everybody. And
right.
that's okay.
That's okay.
Not everybody likes to do this.
Right, right. But if you do, I think a lot of people maybe, like, they're at home with their kids. They got some sewing crap. Why not incorporate it, you know? Like, the reason Zelda got to do so much watercolor painting is because I had a lot of watercolor paper.
That's right.
You know? And I was doing a little research, and this one mom's like, oh, my kids read all the time, and I was worried about their science, you know, competencies. And then this other mom I know, their kid crossbred fish in their creek, but they never read any books. And so, you know, things you might end up with a little bit of specialization based on what you like to do. And I think that's okay for a little while. So,
but also everybody starts somewhere.
That's right. And having the ability to just manipulate things physically is good for your brain too. So it's
well,
not
I
only.
Well, I think the fact of just knowing, oh, that can be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, oh, mm-hmm. it's not such a mystery. It can
right.
be done. Look,
yeah.
look, this can be done.
Yeah,
right.
absolutely. Lots of, and you'll have lots of measuring and sewing too, of course. So
right.
if that's something, you know, a number sense and a spatial sense are things that will be developed just through the act of doing these projects. You know, it's going to be worked in there automatically. Okay, well, we hope that you have fun sewing with whatever students are coming your way, whether you've produced them or you're going to start. and you've got to start sewing with them. I think more people are going to be.
Or if that's students and adults.
Sewing
like we
with
said.
Their kids. Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay. And what were you going to say?
I was going to say, we all want to be kids.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's been kind of fun to think about, you know, the things that we'll be able to do together. Now, I think we'd started recording this podcast a week ago or a few days ago, and we stopped because I think your dog was freaking out over the storm. And I said, teaching your kid to sew will not mean that you get more time to sew because you're in, like, your studio more.
Especially
if they get really interested, because...
Or they might invade your studio and be there for the rest of your life.
And you can't get rid of them. And they make you do a podcast. But, yeah, as their skills grow in sewing, they may just want to do more and more and more. So you won't be like, oh, you can now... do this on your own. They're going to be like, oh, I already know how to do that. Now I want to make the next thing.
That's
so
right.
Just be prepared. If they get passionate, it may actually take up more of your time, which hopefully we can look upon as a positive thing. So let us know how teaching sewing goes for you, if that's something that you're going to do. And ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.